This afternoon, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew and read from chapter number 20, the first 19 verses. Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when the even was come, and the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thought that was impressed upon me from this morning and even now in the prayer is that the Word of God is powerful and it is truth, and it can make such an impression on our lives, and it's nothing short than the Word of God. And it is something that should be handled with reverence and spoken of with truth, yielded to what the Word of God says. And thankful when we are assured of prayers as one would handle the Word of life. This reading that we had this afternoon, we should first remember that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring forth the Word of God, of his Father. And so he came here upon this earth, and he said that the words that he speaks are not his own, but they are the Father's. And it was important that the Lord Jesus would convey that which the Father would have him to speak while he was here upon this earth. And so here is one instance of that, and this is this parable that Christ had given, that the kingdom of heaven is about the last being first and the first being last. So as we consider this scripture this afternoon, let's remember that this is a parable that has come forth from the Father through Jesus Christ, that we would remember that the last would be first and the first would be last. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like unto. And Jesus is giving that direction here through this word that he has spoken. So let's look at it in that context, but there are other thoughts that that come to my mind as I consider this scripture, and that is of God being sovereign and that of God being good. There is none that will speak to God and say, what doest thou? There is none that can say to the creation, to say to the Creator that they are doing something wrong. So this parable speaks that there was a man who was a householder, and he went out early into the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And so we know this to be the Lord, and he's going forth and he's asking those that would yield themselves to the Lord and would labor in his vineyard. It all belongs to him. It's his vineyard. And he would set the wages. It says, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. There was an agreement made. It was deemed fair on both parties, the householder and the laborers. And they went about with that agreement in mind. And so the laborers labored, and they bore the heat of the day. And they were expectant of a penny at the end of that day, their wages for their labor. And he goes out and he finds others in the third, sixth, and ninth hour. And he asks them to go out into the vineyard, but there's no agreement made in terms of what their wages would be. But they went their ways. These men that went into the vineyard at the 3, 6, and 9 o'clock hours. They were obedient. They were obedient. They were told to go their ways and to labor in the householder's vineyard, and they were obedient. It says, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and he saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. Again, the one of the aspects of the Lord is that continual calling, that he would continually call those of us, his creation, into the vineyard, to labor for him, to do what he would have us to do. And so even though it was now late in the day, he was still calling others to come into the vineyard to work. and they were given assurance that whatever is right, they would receive. Then in verse number 8 it says, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And so here's where the first instance of the last being first comes into play. And so this householder tells his steward, go call them all, and I want you to begin with the end. I want you to begin with those who came in at the 11th hour. Truly, this has weight and this has meaning as to the process of what Jesus here is teaching. Because it would have been far simpler and far less controversial if he would have simply started with the first and gave them their penny, allowed them to go on their way, and gave those that came at the 3, 6, 9, and 11 o'clock hour to give them a penny likewise. The first would have never known, and they could have been on their way, and there would not have been an issue. But the householder has his steward start with the end. And in the presence of those who came at the beginning of the day and bore the burden and the heat of the day, in their presence, he gives unto those that came at the 11th hour a penny of the wages for a full day. He didn't have to do that, but that's what he did. When they came, they that came were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. So there was an assumption. They supposed. And often we go through life and we have assumptions too. We assume, well, to be fair, this and this should happen. And so they made an assumption. They supposed, well, if those that came an hour ago and barely got anything done, wrapped up the tools, basically, if they received a penny, then we'll likely get much more than a penny. But it wasn't so. They received a penny likewise. And so We need to be careful about when we make assumptions, when we have expectations. Expectations typically lead to disappointment. And then disappointment leads to complaining. And then complaining leads to bitterness. And then bitterness leads to defilement. And this is the process that happened as we read last Sunday afternoon from Numbers chapter 11. And it just makes me shudder just to think that when it says here in verse number 1 that we read, Numbers 11, and when the people complained, just as these who came and bore the heat of the day, they were complaining, they were murmuring against the good men of the house, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. We have to understand that when we murmur, when we complain, it elicits a displeasement from the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. This kindled the anger of the Lord when there was complaining. The Lord just delivered the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery. He brought them across the Red Sea. He did everything. He led them by day and by night, by a pillar of fire. He did all these things for them, provided them manna, and they complained. And so it displeased the Lord, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. This is what murmuring does. This is what complaining does. It displeases the Lord. It kindles his anger. We are to be a thankful people. Think of how much the Lord has given to us, how much the Lord has blessed us with, how much we have, how much grace, mercy, peace, joy in our lives because we serve an almighty God, because our souls have been saved and purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. And so he wants us not to complain, but to rejoice and to be thankful. It says, and when they received it, when those who came at the beginning of the day, when they received their penny, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." These were men who had no regard for those who came late in the day. They really actually should have rejoiced. And we're so thankful that those who came at the end of the day, they were able to get a day's wage as well. That would have been the proper attitude of which to come with when those that came late in the day received the penny. That's the proper attitude. They should have rejoiced with them. But they had scorn for their fellow laborers. And this, again, displeases the Lord. They murmured against it, and these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. The Bible says that we are to esteem others higher than ourselves. And this is the exact opposite of what they did. They esteemed themselves greater than those who labored but 1 hour. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. This is our Lord." To those who murmured, to those who complained, he comes and he calls them his friends. He says, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Our Lord will never do wrong. Our Lord is incapable of doing wrong." But what we need to remember that it is that God is sovereign. He will do with his own as he will. He is owner of all. I believe it's in Psalm 50, it speaks that the cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. Well, that's simply just the beginning. He owns it all. He owns it all. And he will never do wrong. He reminds them, "Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy will. I will give unto the last even as unto thee." He is sovereign, he is Lord, and it is his prerogative to do whatever it is that he would do. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. As the Bible says, that the ways of the Lord are exceed our ways as far as the heavens do the earth. And so God's ways are great. And if he will have the last to be first and the first to be last, then that is his way. And we are to rejoice in his way and glorify him for what he does and the things he continues to do in our lives. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? He owns it all. And he's saying, am not I allowed to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? He asks. All is his. And Daniel, in the book of Daniel, we read of Nebuchadnezzar. And how it was that he became as a beast in the field, and then after he was recovered of all of that, it says, at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. He is sovereign. He owns it all. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. All these laborers are nothing. Whether you came in the beginning or at the end, we're all nothing. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. All our labors are in vain, but for the grace of the Lord. But for the grace of the Lord. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. God will do his ways. God will do whatever it is that he, as sovereign Lord, would will to do. And if it is to be that the last will be first and the first will be last, that is his sovereign will, and we are to rejoice in that. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None of us can say that to the Lord. Lord, what are you doing? I don't think you did it right here. We can't say that. He is sovereign. He is good. And he will do as he will. And so he concludes this parable by saying, so the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. This is the parable. And this is the word of God that comes to us. That we will remember that God is sovereign and he will do what he wills with his own. We are to rejoice in what the Lord has done. So, and not to murmur and not to complain, because that kindles the anger of the Lord. Our lives will be blessed when we receive his sovereign will in our lives with joy. We will have great cursings against ourselves when we murmur or complain. After this teaching takes place, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem and he's taking the 12 with him, and he takes them apart and he gives them a little bit of foresight. He gives them some understanding about what's going to happen. He says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the chief priests and into the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. Jesus gave his disciples this understanding and this knowledge. And he says, in the third day he shall rise again. What the Lord Jesus Christ was about to experience there in Jerusalem was far, far worse than what those endured when they came at the beginning of the day and had an agreement that they would be paid a penny for their wages, and yet to see that others were getting paid that same wage who came but at the end. What Jesus had to endure was far, far greater. And we have to remember that for ourselves as likewise, that what we have to endure in this life cannot compare to what our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ endured in this life. From the scribes and the chief priests. When he went to Jerusalem, he didn't murmur. He didn't complain. He didn't compare himself to others, because that's what these who came in the early hours of the day, they compared themselves among themselves. And the Bible says that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going to Jerusalem and was about to be treated horribly by the chief priests and the scribes, he didn't complain. He didn't murmur. He didn't compare himself to his disciples. But he yielded himself to the will of the Father. So if the Father would have the last to be first and the first to be last, that's the Lord's prerogative. He is sovereign. He is good. He will do his will. The creation cannot tell the Creator what to do. The creation cannot tell the Creator what is good and what is fair and what is right. In Romans we read, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him who has formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Can we, as God's creation, can we as the vessel, as the clay, tell the potter, you didn't do it right, you didn't get it right, and murmur and complain? God will do his will in our lives, and we need to rejoice in that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe it is, that God has placed us in the body as it has pleased him. As it has pleased him. He is sovereign, and he will place us in the body as it has pleased him. He has given unto us a body as it pleases the Lord, as it pleases himself. And then in 1 Corinthians 15 also it says that in the resurrections we will receive a body as it pleased him. So in this life we will receive a body as it pleased the Lord. We will be placed in a larger body as it pleases the Lord. And when we are resurrected by his grace and by his love and by his mercy, we will be given a body as it pleases him. As it pleases him. And we are to rejoice in that, because God is good, and he does not anything that is in error. Our eye ought not to be evil because God is good, but we are to rejoice in him and be thankful and have expressions of thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for us. Again, God is sovereign. When we read the parable about the pounds in Luke 19, it speaks of 10 servants that were given a pound each. And one of the 10 made a tenfold increase with his pound that he received. And he told his Lord, "Behold, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Another came, "Thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And another comes in the napkin and says, here's your pound back. And God in his sovereignty says, "Take that pound and give it to him that hath 10. Not to give it to him that has 5, and so that there could be more of an equality. But God said, take it from him that didn't use that talent, and give it to him that has 10. This is God. This is his sovereignty. He will do what he will with his own. It's all his. He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills, yea, and so much more. I appreciated the reference to Joseph this morning. My thoughts were the same in that, you know, Joseph had a very difficult life. The Lord was showing him that he was special. The Lord was showing him that he would be great, and it wasn't turning out that way for him in his sight as he was experiencing life. It was mentioned that Joseph was cast into the pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, cast into prison. And then he's in prison, and the one that was released from prison forgets about Joseph. And the brothers all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so if Joseph had not have gone through that path of great difficulty, what we would deem to be not fair, not just, but God had a greater plan. And that plan didn't include comfort and ease and instant gratification for Joseph. No, but there was a trial and a continuous trial that he would have to go through over and over until he realized the full purpose, that when that time came, that don't remember if it was the butler or the baker, that he would remember Joseph, and he would call for and Pharaoh would call for Joseph to come. Then then it was that Joseph rose to second in command in all of Egypt. And it was through that then that his not only he himself was saved, but his whole family was saved because of that. And then future generations were saved because of that. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And he will do his will in our lives when we yield to him. And he will do something beautiful in our lives when we yield to him and are thankful and don't question, but walk in faith and trust him all along the way, even as Joseph did, trusted him all along the way. Think of Job. He was tried as well. And he could have said, this isn't fair, just as these complainers did here who came in the beginning of the day. They complained, they murmured, and they said, this isn't fair. And they looked down with scorn to those who received a penny only laboring for an hour. Job didn't understand what was going on in his life. We know because we read the whole book. But he didn't know what was going on. But then he trusted in the Lord, and he comes to the conclusion, God can do everything. Thou canst do everything. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our God is sovereign. We trust in him and in him alone. We look to Jesus Christ, who didn't murmur, who didn't complain, who didn't compare himself with others as he was going up to Jerusalem and would be treated horribly by the chief priests and by the scribes. In the junior hymnal, we read, we sing a song that speaks to this topic of trusting in the Lord. It says, my God and Father, while I stray far from my home on life's rough way, O teach me from my heart to say, thy will be done. Though dark my path and sad my lot, let me be still and murmur not. Or breathe a prayer divinely taught, thy will be done. What though in lonely grief I sigh for friends beloved no longer nigh? Submissive still would I reply, thy will be done. Amen. Amen.
The Lord has spoke powerfully through Brother John this afternoon, a lesson as we read in the first verse of the kingdom of heaven. It is like unto a man that is an householder. I think we can all relate to the logic that prevailed among those who began at the first hour of the day, who labored through the heat of it, and who also saw some that showed up in the 11th hour and received, and as Brother John really brought out the important detail, that they saw that they had received a penny for their hour or less of wages. And expected then, perhaps some of them a 12x multiplier, to be their own salary. And the only way this logic prevails, and as we consider the kingdom, and we consider the wage of sin is death, but we know the wage for all those who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ is eternal life. And the only way their logic prevails is if we earn it, if we earn our salvation. And I was reminded, as Brother John elaborated on, the murmuring and the disgruntlement of that prodigal son, I was reminded of his older brother. When he came back from the fields, he heard music and dancing and inquired as to what was going on, and he was instructed, "Your brother has returned home. Your father has killed the fatted calf, and they're making merry because he has come home." And it says very simply that the older brother was angry and he would not go in. And we know the story and the details of it. The father would end up telling him, because he complained, that he never had such done for him, making merry with friends and killing the fatted calf. And the father would have to tell him, "Everything I have has been yours." Would he have but known it? And he didn't know it because he didn't have a relationship with the father. He was in a servile relationship. He was earning his credit. He was earning his merit. He was comparing himself, as we heard this afternoon, as unwise, as being more deserving than his younger brother. And perhaps the saddest thing of all was he was not able to rejoice with before the throne of God, with the angels in heaven, over one sinner that repented. He was utterly incapable of rejoicing with God over that, because he was in a servile condition. And so those who worked through the full length of the day had the opportunity to rejoice that others were able to come and be rewarded also. And so the Lord has spoken powerfully to each one of us, I trust, to consider your relationship and the extent to which Jesus Christ is formed in you, that you can also rejoice in mercy. You can rejoice that your fellow brother, or perhaps a loved one that has not yet been converted, would come to the truth and do so without any envy, without any bitterness, but that it would in fact be Christ that would rejoice in us. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts. Thank you.